In October 2019, we went with a group of young lesbian, bisexual and pansexual women on a residential weekend to the Lake District. The young women came from our Proud Trust groups across Greater Manchester and Cheshire, and we were also joined by young women from Merseyside. They ranged in age from 15 to 24. The purpose of the weekend was to discuss young women's experiences of the spaces we provide and the wider issue of women-only spaces. Over the course of the weekend, the young women also discussed other issues which were important to them. These recordings capture some of these discussions. Two young women discussed some of the issues faced by LBP women with additional needs, particularly autism.
So introduce yourselves.
Okay. I'm Emily. I'm 20 years old.
I'm Bethan. I'm 17.
Today we're going to discuss how our LGBT plus identity intersects with being autistic.
Yeah. So I identify as a demigirl. So I'm a non-binary woman. I also identify as a lesbian.
I identify as a non-binary woman. I don't really understand gender, and I think that relates a lot to being autistic.
Yeah, so do I. Like, the way that I see gender isn't the same as how society sees it.
Yeah.
It's like, from being born, you're socialised whether you're a girl or whether you're a boy, and I hated... I loved dresses and skirts because they were so comfortable, but I was never allowed to wear them because my mum wanted me to be modest and I wasn't able to wear tights due to sensory issues. So I never got to wear comfortable clothing, really. Well, I did, but I didn't get to wear my skirts and dresses that I liked because I weren't allowed, because a woman should be modest. It should cover up, pretty much. So I was always in trousers and pants and jeans, and I felt comfortable in those, apart from jeans. I always hated jeans, that's another sensory issue. Still struggle with them now. But I always felt like my gender identity was different to how other people saw it, because I was never a girly girl. I never believed I should cross my legs, I should cross my ankles, I should stay covered up, I should act like a girl. I never have done. I was the roughest of the rough. I would roll around in the fields, play with the boys. I would play football, play hockey and anything. I was active constantly as a child.
Yeah, I feel being autistic, the pressure to conform to gender is just as much, but also within yourself, you don't feel like that's needed. It's not necessary. So I know I have a connection to womanhood. I feel like that is a part of me, but my understanding of gender is not what I would say, not up to what other people's experiences of how they have told me. So I feel like in spaces, even in LGBT plus spaces, I feel a bit isolated because I still feel like, will I ever figure it out? So, I access these spaces for answers, and sometimes I don't find them. But I still think that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, one of the massive things that always has been for me is knowing what's happening, knowing what's going on, knowing how to explain things to myself. So that's why I researched, I figured it out, I did all these stuff for myself, and that's when I came to the conclusion that I'm a demigirl, because it's the only sort of thing that made sense, even a little bit. And then I've only ever really been attracted to more female people, and therefore I do identify as a lesbian. But I know I'm not attracted to men at all, but then there's this grey area of non-binary people where I'm like, if you're cute, you're cute. I don't quite understand, but then I still identify as a lesbian because I don't know where else to call it, because it's so confusing.
I think a lot of being autistic is needing to know.
Yes.
Like that reassurance, always needing to be reassured, but the way as the world works, as gender and sexuality works, it's not always black and white, and it's helpful to find labels such as demigirl beyond the LGBT that you can think, yes, that's me. And I feel like even in LGBT plus spaces, some people have difficulty with them because they think, well, that's not how it works for me, but they have to understand that if they're neurotypical, that's how their mind works.
Yeah, they see it differently to us, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's a bit like, wow, okay. Well, I'll accept what you're saying, but it's wrong. That's what I do all the time. That's just my way of tolerating people.
I mean, I feel the same about, like, attraction. I don't feel attraction. I don't think I feel attraction at all. So I would describe myself as asexual and possibly aromantic. But I don't have any reference of how attraction feels. So what I might be thinking, well, this is a friendship. If somebody else was feeling it for me, they might think, no, that's romantic attraction. And I get all of that confused. So I feel like that in itself is probably my understanding of social cues from other people and how I'm coming across to other people. Because, like, flirting, people be like, was that flirting? It's like, no, that was me, just me being nice, and because I don't feel that way again for anyone.
So how then would you like a relationship to go? Sorry, that's a random question.
No, that's... That, me and myself, I don't even know because I don't see that for myself. So I think it's because I find it hard to relate to everybody that I can't imagine that working for me. I think that's just who I am personally.
For me, I've had a few relationships, never ended that well. And for me, I've always been that person who's like, okay, so you say we're on a break, what does that mean? Tell me the information. Does that mean this? Does that mean that? And I am the person who's like, I need it plain and simple.
I need that blank.
Like, okay, so I like you. Do you like me? Okay, you do like me. Okay, what are we doing then? Like, what's going on?
I think the sort of inappropriateness of that autism can sometimes be in social situations, people don't get that sometimes what I say might not sound right to them, but I did not mean it in an offensive way.
I was just asking
for clarification. I was just sort of trying to get my point across in the way that my mind thought it would work, but...
It's like for me, especially with like sexuality and attraction, when I was a teen, or even like actually, when I was a teen, we just dated.
Yeah.
It sounds so long ago, I'm still technically a teenager, but when I was in high school, we just dated. You either going out or not. But like my brother, he's only 3 years younger than me, but they have this speaking. What is speaking? Is that just like talking to someone?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you either dated your mates, but you don't know them at all. It's so confusing. And I'm that person who's like, tell me what is going on. Are we talking? Like, are we talking to each other, getting to know each other? Are we just friends? Are we dating? And I'm just humans are confusing.
Yeah. To highlight that in like attraction wise, we are complete opposite, and a lot of people think autistic people must always have the same experiences.
Yeah.
But from us just talking now, like, We're two different worlds in that respect.
I feel attraction, and you don't know what it feels like.
Yeah.
And some people do, and some people don't who are autistic, and it's hard for neurotypical people to see that we don't all, just because we're autistic or neurodiverse doesn't mean that we follow the same rule book.
I think what we sort of agree on, especially, is sort of the valid, like, how valid spaces, like these in-between spaces, like even the identifying non-binary woman is very valid, because feeling both connected to womanhood and also unsure about your gender is a very sort of unique experience, and like I think it's important that that's sort of recognised in spaces, like,
definitely, because if people people are always like, oh, you're non-binary then, why don't you go to a trans space?
Yeah.
I've been to trans spaces. I don't feel like me there.
Yeah.
Like, some things I connect with them.
Yeah.
But if I was to say, if there was a rule where it was like, you're male, you're female, or you're absolutely neither, you're agender, and I would go to female because I feel more feminine.
Yeah.
So I don't feel comfortable in trans spaces, really. Like, I wouldn't shy away from it.
Yeah.
But it's not me.
Yeah.
So I think being able to access women-only spaces as someone who, I'd say, not completely a woman.
Yeah.
It feels safer and better for me.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Yeah, I feel like I access this space as I need it, sort of when I feel my gender is most sort of on that woman sort of spectrum. And I feel like the acceptance I've gotten from the Proud Trust, I've explained this to them that it can change and can I still access these spaces? And they're like, as long as you are identifying as a woman, you can access that space, and that is so important. It takes a lot of pressure off me thinking, like, I am taking up a space I don't, like, I shouldn't be in. But I've had that reassurance, so.
And it's nice, yeah. So, like, how would you say that we could make women-only spaces more accessible for people who are non-binary women and who are autistic like us?
I would say having the understanding that, like I said before, non-binary women exist, that, like, having that discussion and, like, being aware that everybody in the room is going to have their own understanding of how their gender and sexuality works, especially if they're autistic, because that's going to make it so much more complicated for them to communicate themselves to others. And I think being able to go to someone and say you said something that maybe other people would think was socially inappropriate, being able to go to, like, a youth worker and just sort of clarify, was this out of line, where was I out of line with this, and just having an open dialogue is so important, because it's better to tell an autistic person where they went wrong than, like,
just let them, like, sit in there. Just
like, they're a bad person. No, they're probably not a bad person. They probably
see things differently. Yeah. Yeah.
And they just need it explaining. I know I do. I appreciate when somebody's like, this was wrong. And it's like, I can be like, I can see what you mean, and I will apologise, obviously.
Yeah, and I'm the same. I hate that feeling of, like, talking to someone, and then you say something, and their body cues spike, and you make yourself, you end up feeling, have I done something wrong? What have I done wrong?
Yeah.
And then being left to sit with that.
Yeah.
Is so hard.
Yeah.
So then by someone just going, other people might not have said it in that way, and we understand where you're coming from, but it was slightly harsh.
Yeah.
And they can be blunt with me. Like, just tell me, Bethan, that was mean, and I'll be quite happy as long as I know what's going on.
Yeah, and even that reassurance, sometimes I need reassuring again and again and again. If I know I've done something wrong, and I will apologise, and then I'll think, yeah, but I don't think I apologise, right? I think understanding that sometimes autistic people and neurotypical people who may have anxiety or anything need that reassurance that sometimes whatever went wrong, it's finished, and you can move past it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel the same.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed listening and that you got an insight into the experiences and views of the women who took part. We'd like to thank the Young Women's Health Project in partnership with the Proud Trust and our funders, the National Lottery Community Fund and the Tampon Tax Fund from the Government Office of Civil Society. And thanks to Angel at Virgin Money for helping us with recording and editing. Please check out the other recordings in this series.